This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
And now, America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. A great day when there is great debate going on among people who actually know what is going on, have some experience analyzing it, and predict very, very different results. There's a piece in the Wall Street Journal by a former CIA analyst that says that Putin will definitely lose this confrontation with the West. It says Putin has ensured his own downfall. By Jack Devine. We will get to that in the same newspaper. Same newspaper, the Wall Street Journal, America's leading conservative-leaning news source. The Wall Street Journal has a piece also by Stephen Fidler that says, "How might the war end?" And then goes over the five factors looming large. Who is right on this? And is David French right when he says that, look, there have been shocks about this war so far? For instance, shocks about how badly the Russian forces have performed. But that doesn't mean that Ukraine can necessarily survive. We will get to all of that on the Michael Medved Show. We'll also be talking this hour to John Avlon, a former editor-in-chief of Daily Beast. He has written a book of history, which is actually profoundly relevant. It's about Abraham Lincoln's fight not to end slavery, not to preserve the Union, Abraham Lincoln's fight for peace and his ideas of making peace and how you achieve it, which might even, at some point, be relevant for what is going on in Europe. 1-800-955-1776 is our phone number. Okay, this piece, How Might the War End? We spoke yesterday about Tom Friedman in the New York Times, who has predicted that the war will not end either with a total disaster, though that is still possible, and the extinguishment of the entire idea of a Ukrainian state, or it might end, very unlikely, he says, with a total victory and the Russians retreating from Ukraine and allowing the continuation of Ukrainian independence and membership in the European Union. Is that even possible? It's possible. Is it likely at all? It is not. Today, and the middle point that Tom Friedman makes is with those two unlikely developments, he thinks the most likely development would be a very messy peace where both sides got a little bit of what they said they wanted and where Russia would be getting independence or separateness at least or separation for those two provinces, those two districts. The Lugansk and Donetsk, which have a majority of Russian speakers in them, as, by the way, does Crimea. And Russia would take that as part of the Russian Federation, dismantling more of Ukrainian property than the Ukrainians even have surrendered so far. But they would be getting that and a guarantee that Ukraine not join NATO in return for a guarantee of no further Russian incursion or military action against Ukraine. Speaking to people, and we have, about the likelihood of that kind of settlement, probably the Russians wouldn't accept it because it gives them much less than they are asking for, which is the whole country. Almost certainly the Ukrainians wouldn't accept it because the idea of not allowing membership in NATO, as if that were somehow a violation of any sort of agreement. It isn't. or as if that were somehow a menace to Russia in and of itself. NATO is not an offensive alliance. It is a defensive union of like-minded democratic states. 1-800-955-1776. As to this new speculation on how the war might end, Stephen Fidler writes that one thing becoming clear is that the performance of Russian military thus far is delivering Mr. Putin a reality check and potentially scrambling the range of outcomes. Every day the Ukrainians don't lose, they win politically, said Michael Clark, former director of the Royal United Services Institute, a London think tank. And the political cost for Putin is going up on a daily basis. Lawrence Friedman, a professor emeritus of war studies at King's College in London, doesn't think the Russians will succeed in installing a puppet government in Ukraine. They can't occupy the whole country, he said. A puppet government in Kyiv, not backed by Russian arms, wouldn't have any legitimacy and would not and could not survive. This, by the way, goes to the fact that there would be almost certainly an insurgency and an attempt to repeat what the Ukrainians had done before. They had a pro-Russian president who had been largely installed by Putin and Putin's money and Putin's meddling in their elections, Yanukovych. He was a president for whom Paul Manafort, if you remember him, former Trump campaign manager, campaign director, Paul Manafort had worked for Viktor Yanukovych, who was the pro-Putin president of Ukraine, who was driven out of office by what they call the Orange Revolution, which was a dramatic mobilization of literally hundreds of thousands of people in the Maidan, in the central square in Kyiv, demanding his removal, and that was accomplished. And that occurred in 2014. Since that time, this has been Ukraine has been an independent nation with its own problems and conflicts and difficulties, but one definitely on a path very different from the path that Putin had wanted or expected. Here are five variables military analysts say could determine the course of the war. Number one, Western military analysts have expressed shock at how poorly Russia's forces performed during the early days of the invasion. They had expected that a military that had been modernized over more than a decade would quell the first phase of Ukrainian resistance fairly easily. We've all been astonished that this new Russian army looks like the old Red Army, not very well trained, not very well commanded, with really quite poor logistics, which implies either a big failure of planning or a big underestimation of the enemy, said Mr. Clark. Russia's Air Force, Navy, and nuclear force have been partly or completely modernized, he said, but the army looks as though it hasn't overcome past weaknesses. The Russians will learn, said Richard Sheriff, a British deputy military commander of the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, NATO. They'll learn the hard way by getting killed. Which I guess it's kind of a hard way to learn. I'm not sure how much you learning that after you're dead helps. They'll learn that the hard way, he said, by getting killed. But then they'll have to coordinate their all-arms offense in a much more professional way than they have done so far. It is possible that Moscow deliberately restrained the campaign early in the war, expecting significantly less resistance than they've met. It could continue with those tactics, expecting to eventually exhaust the opposition. The more likely scenario, according to some military analysts, is for the Russians to use significantly more firepower to drive further into Ukraine, laying siege to cities or using heavy weaponry against them. There's also this question about the Russian Air Force, which is the third largest air force in the world and has been basically out of the fight. And does that show a reluctance that is permanent to using bombing resources? to know, that reluctance would melt away if the alternative was accepting defeat. So what else can happen and is likely to happen? We'll get to that coming up on the MedVed Show. Washington Policy Center, WPC, is Washington State's champion for free market reforms and is nationally renowned for its effectiveness in an ideologically hostile state. It's led the effort against state and local income taxes. Its research and policy analysis are relied on by lawmakers, media, and citizen activists for accuracy, fresh perspective, and to expose the political manipulation of data. Our state needs WPC more than ever, and we need you to be part of it. Become a member today at WashingtonPolicy.org. Is our country's distinctive power and prosperity the product of some happy accidents or criminal activity, or is it God's hand on America? That's the title, actually, of my most recent book. You can get a hardcover copy, personally signed by me, together with a full audiobook, and it comes to you together with an MP3 player so you can hear it anytime you want. It's all at a reduced price while supplies last. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for God's Hand on America, look for that audiobook and hardcover book bundle.
Introducing the all-new My Slippers from MyPillow. 2 years in development. Designed to wear indoor, outdoor, all day long. Made with MyPillow foam and impact gel to help prevent fatigue. And made with quality leather suede. For a limited time, you can get 50% off the new My Slippers. They're super comfortable, and you'll like them so much you'll want to get pairs of them for the entire family. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener square and use promo code MEDVED. That's promo code MEDVED, M-E-D-V-E-D. You'll also get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, like the Giza Dream bed sheets, the mattress topper, and towel sets. Call right now 1-800-320-6280. That's 1-800-320-6280 and use promo code MEDVED. Or go to the web at MyPillow.com. The all-new My Slippers from MyPillow.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at TeamG'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
February is Heart Month. Every year for the month of February, to show our appreciation to Extendivite's faithful customers, we have a sale. If you would like to try Extendivite, now is the time to get a few months ahead and really give Extendivite the time to show you how it works. Most of Extendivite's long-term customers wait for this sale to stock up. People and doctors tell us about the unbelievable improvements that they have experienced in their overall health, not just the heart. Extendivite wants you to experience the power of these herbs. Get a four-month supply for only $115 for either the capsules or tincture. Please take advantage of this once-per-year sale and get healthy for life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
You've been hearing Dr. Wallach talking about 90 essential nutrients, keeping the body healthy. GCNteam.com now has Beyond Tangy Tangerine Tablets, 60 plant-derived minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, packed in a powerful tablet. But that's not it. 160,000 auric points, a knockout punch to free radicals. Call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com. That's 877-878-4203.
On the Michael Medved show, the piece I'm talking about right now about how this ends mentions peace talks and then speaks not just about the peace talks that were held today, inconclusive, they didn't get anywhere, but peace talks ultimately when both sides understand that there is no more point to the continued killing. This is the Russians now have conceded that they have lost close to 500 troops, but Ukrainians and frankly and so-called neutral sources are non-involved, not pro-Russian or pro-Ukrainian sources, say it's almost surely many, many more Russian casualties. And there have also been reported at least 2,000 Ukrainian civilians have died. And when you see the devastation that has been wrought by some of the shelling in Kherson, where the Russians did take over in Kharkov, Kharkiv, they say in Ukrainian, and around Kyiv, obviously you're talking about multiple casualties as this war continues. Let's go quickly to your calls to Matthew in Portland, Oregon. You're on the Medved Show.
Are you talking to me?
I am, Matthew.
Oh, okay. Sorry, it buzzed on me. Anyhow, so I'm going to say something, and this is the most radical thing you're going to hear. We'll call it the non-liberal democracy perspective. We'll call it the Russian perspective, just to keep it all in context. The Russian perspective has won already. It has won the war, and it's already done. And actually, Russia and Ukraine have very little to do with what is the most important variable on the table, the reaction to the West to a nuclear superpower, and how when a country goes in and invades and they say, touch us and we will nuke you, and so we have to stand back. That is the lesson that is being taught to China, Pakistan, and every other nuclear whoever has nukes that can reach out and touch the world. Everybody is learning right now. Mad, and I mean mutual assured destruction is very important to the West, and they can use that now against us.
Well, I'm not sure they use that against us. And look, I think it's one of the reasons there are such high stakes in this conflict. Now, when you talk about Russia actually winning, Russia has never been more isolated. I mean, in the General Assembly of the United Nations, there are 141 votes against Russia and 4 votes, aside from Russia herself, for her. Eritrea and Belarus and Syria. That's pretty much it. That's not a great position to be in internationally. And the point you'd make was, what do you care? Well, you care because the economic weapons are very serious. There was a warning from the former president of Russia. Yes, he's both a former president and a former prime minister, Dmitry Medvedev, who said, be careful what you say about the economic weapons, because economic warfare has consequences and costs as well. And this might well be the case with the United States, and who knows how this will go. But I think your idea that Russia has won definitively, that has yet to be determined. If NATO really does rearm, if the Germans completely reorient their foreign policy and security policy and their policy to the Bundeswehr, to the army, that would be, it seems to me, a significant benefit to the United States and to the forces of decency and security. I appreciate your call, and I think your observations are important. Let's go quickly to John in Los Angeles. John, you're on the Medved Show.
Hi, Michael. You know what I worry about most about this situation is Russia's view of United States capabilities, which he can't. I don't know that he can overestimate them enough. I mean, in the last 50 years, the U.S. military leadership has been stunningly unimpressive and incompetent. So I don't know who's afraid of us. I mean, our record is, by my calculations, about 1-2-2. We wouldn't even make the playoffs.
Okay, the truth of the matter is that certainly that wasn't true in the first Gulf War in 1991, where the United States military performed superbly under leaderships of General Powell and Norman Schwarzkopf and people who became, as a result, national heroes. The first stage of our aid to the Northern Alliance and to some of the local Afghan forces, our first participation in the Afghan war, the military performed magnificently and did wonderfully. And it was basically the leadership at the top that, with its continued work of nation building, that was a tremendous disappointment. I think wrong to indict the U.S. military, and certainly Putin is no idiot. And he knows that when it comes to equipment, warfighting readiness and ability, as this war has shown with the miserable performance of the Russians. We'll be talking to retired Lieutenant Colonel Ralph Peters about that a little bit later. Let us go to Jen in Olympia, Washington. You're on the Medved Show.
Yes, Michael. While Putin may look a little more like Mussolini than Hitler at the moment, I wonder about China. What are they doing and thinking in this situation?
Well, what's interesting is they've abstained twice in the votes to condemn Russia and demanding a Russian pullback and a Russian withdrawal and the end of the invasion. China voted at the Security Council to abstain, and China voted in the General Assembly to abstain in the United Nations. Apparently, they are trying to preserve the entente between China and Russia that they have achieved that is very important to them. But two of the wild cards who have not taken a strong position are two countries that are very much impacted because they're so close to Russia, which is India and China, the two most populous countries on Earth. And one of the, I know, focuses in terms of diplomacy and coalition building is, I think, that the chances of maintaining those good relations with India and China, which are both important, both nuclear powers, that the chances of doing that are going to be much better if Putin reaches some kind of peace agreement. Is anything even vaguely possible? Can he pull back on the idea that they have used the term decapitated? They want to decapitate the Zelensky government in Ukraine. And what about peacemaking efforts by Abraham Lincoln? What can he teach us about all of this? We'll be right back with John Avlon, author of Lincoln and the Fight for Peace, coming up.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body Brain and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
USA Radio News with John Hunt.
A recent study done by AARP finds that over 87% of American voters want Congress to act to lower drug prices. Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders spoke with Stephen Colbert.
We are struggling right now to lower the cost of prescription drugs. They got 1,500 lobbyists in Washington, D.C. to make sure that we continue paying the highest prices in the world for prescription drugs. So when Biden says we got to lower the cost of prescription drugs, that Medicare's got to negotiate prices with the pharmaceutical pharmaceutical industry, as the VA now does, the overwhelming majority of the American people support them.
Also, a new federal report says that 3.5 million Americans age 65 and older cannot afford their needed prescription drugs. As the war continues in Ukraine, the United Nations now estimates that more than 10 million people will end up fleeing their homes from Ukraine, including 4 million who may cross the border into neighboring countries. This is USA Radio News.
I know I need to pay attention to my health, but I just can't seem to find the time. Between rushing to work and taking care of the kids, there's not much time left over for me. So I decided to start small by eating more fruits and vegetables and being more active. And then I got the family to make some changes too. We started by keeping a bowl of fresh fruit on the counter, and I limit the amount of sweet snacks I keep in the house. I've also found some creative ways to add more vegetables to our meals. We're taking more walks, and on the weekends, we head down to the pool at the rec center. It doesn't happen every day, but it does happen. You don't have to change your entire life to be healthier. Just make some simple changes and include your family. You'll see how easy and fun it can be.
You can make a difference. Eat smart, play hard. And when you do, your kids will too. A challenge from USDA.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
For years, there's been a popular bracelet that some devotedly religious people wear that has the letters on it, WWJD, What Would Jesus Do? And I've suggested on many occasions that American politicians should wear a bracelet that says WWALD, What Would Abraham Lincoln Do? He's not only our greatest president, he should be an inspiration to people holding office today. I know that John Avlon agrees with me. John Avlon is the author of the new book, Lincoln and the Fight for Peace. John is a CNN political analyst and anchor. He was editor-in-chief and managing director of the Daily Beast. And he also served as chief speechwriter for the mayor of New York. He doesn't mention his name, but his name was Rudy Giuliani, during the attacks of 9/11. John, congratulations on the book, and thank you for joining us. What does Abraham Lincoln have to teach us that might be relevant to making peace in Ukraine?
Well, first of all, Michael, it's good to talk to you again, and peace in Ukraine is a very different kettle of fish than the Civil War. As you say, I love your idea about the bracelet, What Would Abraham Lincoln Do? And there's actually, in the First World War, there was a very popular piece of sheet music that was titled Abraham Lincoln, What Would You Do? So that same sentiment has been kicking around. I think in general, and it applies to our times and overseas as well as at home. One of the things that Lincoln reminds us is you need to, if you don't win the peace, you don't really win the war. And he reminds us that we can't afford to take democracy, or the liberal democratic order established by American Italians after the Second World War for granted. And
I argue in the book that the Lincoln's formulation for peacekeeping, his essential prescription, unconditional surrender followed by magnanimous peace, is what America finally did after the Second World War to establish the order that's now being challenged by Vladimir Putin's aggression and invasion of Ukraine. But I think far too many people have been lulled into a sense of complacency and isolationism and moral relativism when it comes to democracies and autocracies, and that's what we're facing today. We need to defend a lot of these gifts that were hard won, that we were given by previous generations. And that's one of the things that I think the book advocates and reason to study and apply our history to our challenges today.
Well, one of the things I found fascinating in the book Lincoln and the Fight for Peace is you refer to some of the military authorities and civilian authorities who were involved with two of the greatest achievements in the history of the United States, which was the reconstruction of Germany from being a nightmare state to being an exemplary state with Western values. And the same with Japan, which is even more astonishing. It's the greatest victory that General MacArthur ever won. And those people were inspired to some extent by Abraham Lincoln.
They really were. And that's actually, you know, that's where the spark of the idea of the book came, was when I found a quote from General Lucius Clay, who's been somewhat forgotten, but was the American general who led the occupation of Germany. And he was a son of the South, born three decades after the Civil War, son of actually a three-term Georgia senator. And somebody asked him, what guided your decisions during the Reconstruction, the occupation of Germany? And he said, I tried to think what Abraham Lincoln would have done for the South if he had lived. And that to me was so profound and so unexpected. And it speaks to that continuity of history, you know, the way that our best insights, certainly our best speeches, including Lincoln's, they draw on the wisdom of the past to apply them to the present, to guide us toward a better future. And that's what Lucius Clay was doing, despite, you know, the dismal losing of the peace in many respects during Reconstruction. That this was this generation, the World War II generation, who were grandchildren of the Civil War, in effect. We're trying to apply that wisdom, not only from the Civil War, but from the failures of the Treaty of Versailles during the First World War. And we saw a similar thing with Harry Truman, you know, who himself is the grandson of Southern sympathizers in Missouri, working with Secretary of State George Marshall and Republican Senator Arthur Vandenberg to craft and sell the Marshall Plan, which itself was the opposite of reparations. It was an investment in peace, and it worked, and it established this order and held communist expansion at bay. And that's one of the things, I think, the story of Lincoln, the example of Lincoln, it shows how his ideas were vindicated long after his death, and I think can still guide us today because they've proven they can work, and they represent America at its best.
And the one thing that I think is most particularly relevant today in reading your book. The book, by the way, Lincoln and the Fight for Peace, is posted on our website at michaelmedved.com, is the idea of Reconstruction. We look back now on Reconstruction as a noble effort to try to grant the equal rights that were promised in the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments. But it failed. How would Lincoln have made sure that the Reconstruction did not fail? That actually, he wasn't talking just about 40 acres and a mule. In fact, that wasn't even his idea. But he surely would have had a deeper commitment to the long-term goals of Reconstruction in terms of equal rights, would he not?
No question about it. And, you know, while I always try to stay away from counterfactuals and what-ifs, in this case I think it's important because Andrew Johnson got us off the Lincoln path. In part, you know, I think one of the things any study of history or the American presidency shows us is the essential quality for any president is character. It comes before anything else. And, you know, Johnson dismantled the Freedmen's Bureau. He vetoed the Civil Rights Act. He acquiesced as Confederates reclaimed the control of state governments. The Black Codes that were basically just, you know, instituting slavery without the chains were put in place in the fall of 1865. And Reconstruction itself, I think, demands our attention today because it shows us that progress is not inevitable, that even constitutional amendments can be, in effect, undone through a combination of courts and election subversion and voter intimidation. But I think Lincoln would have, first of all, kept his eye, as he always did. You know, he was attacked and hated by some as a tyrant of his time, but his vision of Reconstruction was actually very Federalist, as he articulated in his last address. He was a man who focused on great goals. He would be inflexible on the great goals of his time, but very flexible on the means to achieve them. He wanted and expected that Reconstruction would be a little bit different in every different state, in that spirit of the laboratories of democracy. But as long as they remained committed to ending slavery, to moving towards equal rights and voting rights for black men at the time, who had distinguished themselves and turned the tide of the war through their heroic and pivotal service in the Civil War, which often doesn't get the attention or respect it deserves. I know if you look at what he said and his from proclamations to speeches to comments to Generals Grant and Sherman aboard the River Queen, he would not have allowed the Confederates to reclaim power in the states and suppress and subvert the rights of black Americans.
Just very quickly, and just give a name if you can find one. Any potential Lincolns you see in today's political world?
I think it's about finding people of a similar spirit.
That's a good way to conclude. John Avlon of CNN, his new book is called Lincoln and the Fight for Peace. It is not only fascinating, inspiring, it's important and relevant. We will be right back on the MedBed Show.
Was very bad, and since I've taken Relief Factor, I've been able to walk normally again, and I was having a hard time walking, and the pain was very bad, and since I've taken Relief Factor, I've been able to walk normally again, and the pain has gone away. I really am walking pain-free, so I just want to recommend this to anyone who has severe pain or any type of pain. It is really a miracle product.
Try Relief Factor. It has worked wonderfully for literally hundreds of thousands, and certainly for me. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor, and order your own quick start. Nothing to lose but your pain. The whole world to gain. MichaelMedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor, or call 833-654-PAIN. Relief Factor. Don't you get tired of commercials screaming at you to buy gold right now with inflated promises on future values? In an unregulated industry, you need honest, real experts to give you solid advice to protect your wealth and give you top picks, too, on the best coins and bullion based on real-time data and historical trends. For example, as environmental policy becomes a hot topic, one precious metal that's been significantly undervalued for years is potentially set to surge. Nick Rovich, owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion, has long recommended this precious metal. Up to 600,000 ounces of this rare metal will be needed by 2030 to produce green hydrogen. Nick is doubling down on this pick, and you should, too. Call Nick to find out more. Now, I've been friends with Nick for several years, and he's my go-to guy when it comes to coins and bullion. I trust him. You can, too. Call Nick at 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com. 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
If you're like most Americans, you're pretty much in disbelief with what's going on in the world. As we all know, global problems are having local consequences. Too many of them. And if the peanut butter really hits the fan, are you ready? Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Now's the time to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. Our food kits will ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Having food storage in your home beats government food lines hands down. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today and prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
And on the Michael Medved show, there is a Russian businessman who has put a $1 million bounty on Vladimir Putin's head. Not widely accepted. He actually suggests that a bunch of other millionaires should contribute $1 million each, and they get 1,000 of them, then they get $1 billion bounty on Putin's head. I don't know, Putin himself might be, if he could separate his head. So again, none of this has a humorous aspect, frankly. And I, frankly, given the fact that there have been 1 million people already who have fled Ukraine, and if you've seen some of the images of people minding their own business, not guilty of anything, and yet suffering profoundly because of this brutal invasion. So the question is peace talks. I was talking about this analysis of the current situation and where it goes. And it's important, and it's a lengthy analysis, but what I have to share with you isn't particularly lengthy. An agreement with any government the Russians would install. Yeah, in other words, if they bring back Yanukovych or they bring back somebody like that, there's a wealthy Ukrainian who is pro-Russian named Medvedchuk, no relation, thank God. Anyone like that that they install and there's a Russian-improved government, that government's going to be resisted. And it's going to be resisted by an insurgency, by an insurrection, and perhaps by very mass rallies in the Maidan again. It's not going to be functional. And the variables in the talks are over two Russian objectives: Ukrainian neutrality and Ukrainian territory. Russia annexed Crimea in 2014 and likely would seek Ukrainian acceptance of that. It also might seek to absorb further territory east of the Dnipro River. It is possible that Russia will try to break Ukraine into parts and leave western Ukraine alone, said Angela Stent, who is a specialist in Russian affairs at Georgetown University. But because that would leave a west-leaning government in Kyiv that Mr. Putin has previously depicted as illegitimate, she said, I find it hard to imagine that Putin would never accept it. most likely, analysts said, is for Russia at a minimum to seek a constitution of Ukraine that grants significant independence to the east of the country and an effective veto over Ukrainian government action to that east of the country, which would be under Russian control. The Ukrainians could agree to further elections, but the risk for Russia in agreeing to that is, even in the east, Russia would not like the outcome. One of the things that could heighten the screws on Russia, and it really is about time, would be more decisive moves on energy. This is something that Senator Cruz spoke about earlier today. And actually making a very significant dent in what is left of the Russian economy. This is Senator Lindsey Graham on CBS about what could be done in that regard. Listen.
The Achilles heel of the Putin war machine is oil and gas sector. The Biden administration is coming around to the idea of sanctioning Russian oil and gas. It's about 40% of the income of Russia comes from Russian oil and gas. 4% of our energy, oil comes from Russia. We can make that up if we choose to. But every barrel of oil coming out of Russia has blood in it. So if you hit the oil and gas sector, that will further crush the ruble. But this front about legal liability, trust me, the people carrying out this war need to understand that they're exposed as individuals. So the one thing we could do that we're not doing is going after the oil and gas sector. And the other thing is elevate the determination of the world to hold these people accountable for committing war crimes.
And that means the International Court of Criminal Justice, and which would give any nation in which these individuals traveled, presumably including Vladimir Vladimirovich himself, the ability to arrest and prosecute for international war crimes. Joe Manchin also called for similar mentions a movement in the direction that Lindsey Graham has endorsed. This is clip 24.
What we need to do right now is make sure that we are able to lead by showing the rest of the world how much that we support Ukraine, and we will shut off the revenues every way we possibly can that goes in to Putin and to Russia. That product has been coming at an average of over 500,000 barrels a day. It's up to 670,000, you are correct, and that can be stopped. Now, it's not the federal government buying this product. It's basically private enterprise companies that buy it to provide basically energy, a lot of it to the northeast, a lot of it over on the west coast, because it has been extremely cheap. But the bottom line is we can produce it. We're down a million barrels a day, Larry, our production. We've been up to over 12.3. We're down to 11.2 million barrels a day. So we can pick up that. People say, well, it's going to create higher prices in America. It should not really reflect at all in pricing higher in America because we have that capacity. If not, you know, I oppose the administration on the XL pipeline. I think we should have built that pipeline. I still think we should build that pipeline and have that product coming from Canada, our best and friendliest neighbor.
Okay, yes, that's despite the fact that people like Lauren Boebert want us to liberate Canada because of the... And by the way, what's happening? Has it totally been upstage? Wasn't there supposed to be a freedom convoy in, arriving in Washington at some point? That's just what we need. This is actually very important. And the Biden Energy Secretary, Jennifer Granholm, had this to say, which it reveals her priorities, which are completely misguided at the moment. This is clip 11.
Bottom line is that this president and this administration are looking at every single tool to shield American families from the impact of rising energy prices. And we're working through an energy transition. And we've got to start by adding energy. And the reality is we have to take some time to get off of oil and gas. We recognize this. This is a transition.
Okay, and part of that transition ought to be following the example of France and building some nuclear reactors, which could be very important. Representative Brian Mast asked the Deputy Secretary of State about divesting in Russian energy. This is clip six.
Should Europe and the West divest, Western Europe and the Western world divest of Russian energy, in your opinion?
You know, I think that there's a lot of rethink, and there will be, about energy security worldwide. I think you had heard from the president last night that, combined with other countries around the world, we've done a release of strategic petroleum reserves of 60 billion, 60 million, 30 million from the United States.
But no was your answer.
But I do think that the whole world is rethinking energy security over the long term. There will be a transition era. It is not only in our national security interest because of situations like what we're currently facing, but it is in our national interest because climate change requires it.
Uh-huh. And again, this is not to say that there isn't a problem with climate change, that we can't do better and we don't need more clean energy. The best source of clean energy by far is nuclear power, and that has to be reconsidered. All of that is true. But when you have an immediate emergency where beautiful cities, and Kyiv is a very historic, a monumental capital city, is a city of 3.5 million, and it's being pulverized right now. You're talking about potential mass murder. And for what? For what? And the idea that this should go unpunished or should end up being, God forbid, successful in any way is something that the United States must resist. Certainly must resist if we want to maintain the claim that we have maintained for, 250 years almost now, to be this greatest nation on God's green earth.
Going to do with your old car? You can try selling it, you could junk it, or you could donate it to Heritage for the Blind. Your car will be towed away for free, and your donation is tax deductible. Just call 1-800-785-9618. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats. It doesn't matter if your vehicle runs or not. It will be towed away for free, and you'll be supporting those that need help. Heritage for the Blind is a nonprofit organization that helps the visually impaired live fuller lives. Call right now to donate your car, and as a special thank you for calling, you'll receive a free 3-day vacation voucher to many exciting locations. Call Heritage for the Blind right now, 1-800-785-9618. Donating is easy, and your vehicle is towed away for free. Plus, you'll get a free vacation voucher. Call now, 1-800-785-9618. That's 1-800-785-9618.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.